One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Jared Weiss. I'm joined by Mo DeKeel. We have Danielle Lehman producing the show. And we're going to get right into the big news of the day. Steve Nash is out. Ime Udoka appears to be in. The Nets have made a coaching change. And it's kind of one of the craziest ones we've ever seen in the NBA, considering where Ime Udoka is coming from.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, I think, when you're looking at just how quickly it kind of all happened. I think the situation of it was initially reported as parting ways, which everybody just immediately assumes, hey, they fired him. To me, part of it is just, I don't think Steve Nash wants to be there anymore. I think this was a good day for him. And then now you're looking at, it seems like the imminent hiring of Udoka is coming here somewhere in the next 24 to 48 hours. So, I mean, really interesting, Jared, within the division even, not just the conference, pretty wild scenario.
And the Celtics didn't even see compensation, which is, I think that's probably mostly attached to them wanting to just get Udoka out the door, not have to deal with paying him and the whole issue of like, what do you do when it's time for the suspension to be over and all that. They saw an opportunity to just wash their hands of the situation, and they took that. And now it's a franchise that in Brooklyn that already has their scandals to deal with. And now they have to be the ones to have to welcome Ime back into the public space, in which like no one's explained anything about what actually happened with the situation. He's going to have to be the one to address it, it looks like.
Well, I mean, it just gets wild, right? Like now we're looking at a situation where, as you said, we don't even fully know the whole story at this point into the season as to the suspension. We have bits and pieces and incomplete information. There's still a lot of holes that need to be filled in that regard. But it's interesting that it's like, hey, the Nets are looking at this, and they're already a dumpster fire, if we're being honest. And they've just decided to throw on a whole new, like, pail of gasoline into this dumpster fire and see what happens.
I mean, you might as well embrace the fire at that point. But the thing is, so Ime is a great coach. At least we know that. And he's a great defensive coach. At least we know that. They're a terrible defensive team. And we saw more bad defense late in this game, although credit to Zach LaVine, he was pretty much on fire. But they lost to the Chicago Bulls at home, 108-99. And, I mean, besides Zach LaVine just going absolutely insane in the fourth quarter, what else did you see from Brooklyn's defense that you feel like Ime Udoka is going to have to fix?
Well, I mean, to start out, I actually thought they were a little more into it defensively to start the game, a little more effort. I think there was a little more push behind those things. Some of it's always the interim coach bounce, right? Jack Vaughn took over for them and was coaching tonight. I think there was a little bit more kind of a emphasis on their end and them actually pushing it. But in the end, I feel one, they got tired. I felt like they got fatigued down the stretch. I felt like, you know, as you alluded to, I mean, Zach LaVine just went completely ballistic in the fourth quarter. He outscored them 20-19 just on his own. And the Bulls scored 31 in that quarter. Like, I think that kind of just put the game away. It was pretty interesting. I mean, Udoka's a really good defensive coach. We're going to find out if he's a miracle worker, though.
I mean, the thing is, just going back to the last few games that they were playing, this team doesn't seem to know all of its defensive helps and assignments and all its little rules that make a defensive scheme. Like, they look like they need to start from scratch and learn all that stuff, which we know we can do. But, like, also, Ben Simmons just hasn't been playing at the level you'd expect from him, which isn't shocking considering all the health stuff he's working through. But this team just needs to have some sense of identity on the defensive end.
Yeah, I mean, well, one, Simmons didn't play tonight, and he didn't play their last game, so he's kind of, you're without that. This team's already small, thin up front. Like, there's a lot of issues there. But also, it's hard to play defense when you have 18 turnovers, and that puts the other team in transition. You know, the Bulls get 15 fast break points, 26 points off of those 18 turnovers. It's just, I mean, there's not much you could do defensively when you're just turning the rock over like that and putting yourself in a position where you got to defend over and over again in transition.
And this was a ton of KD in this game. 32 points on 9 for 16 shooting. Got to the line 12 times. Had 6 assists, but also 7 turnovers. But it was a night where Kyrie Irving just couldn't hit anything until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, like, he didn't show up. 2 of 12, 0 for 6 from the field. I mean, from 3. I think, you know, he did some nice stuff, assists and getting the stuff, the ball moving. But in general, like, he was awful tonight. You know, and I felt like it was a very sort of almost a distracted type of viewpoint from him, you know, and it felt like that. And I think it's just, I don't know what else to say anymore, Jared, about this Nets team. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the Dings listeners. I'm tired of talking about this team. This team sucks.
Yeah. Hey, Royce O'Neal at least had 20 points. And then I think he pointed to the Bulls bench when they took a 4-point lead in the fourth quarter. And then they didn't really score again after that. And credit to Zach LaVine and Ayo Dosunmu, who was phenomenal. And we have our legally obligated Trey Kirby attributed shout out for the episode.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Any thoughts on the late overturn call?
It's an awful call. I was walking to the free throw line thinking that I was going to get 3 free throws and, you know, even scored minutes and change left. It's a tough one. I clearly felt a lot of contact. I don't know what they saw besides the high five contact they talked about, but you gotta be allowed to finish your motion. That's what I felt like. Especially when you slow it down in slow mo, it's pretty clear there's a lot of contact. But what do I know about calls?
The Heat beat the defending champs, Golden State, 116-109 in Miami, and it's all about the call. Jimmy Butler blocked a shot at the end of the game, initially ruled a foul, high-fiving Steph Curry. After a 14-hour review, it was overturned, Mo. Where do you land?
I like the call. I like them overturning it. He got the ball first. You know, and I think you should get some credit there if you get the ball first and then high-five him. I think this is a good call. I like that they overturned it. And, I mean, you know, I know it's split. I know a lot of people are probably upset about it, but I thought it was pretty fair. What did you think, Jared?
I agree. If you get the ball first, unless you rip the guy's arm off afterwards, a simple high five contact, I think they nailed it. I don't know why it was controversial. I mean, Steph Curry thought it was, and credit to Anthony Slater for asking about it, but it seemed like the way it's supposed to be called.
Yeah, I thought it was a fair thing. I think the stuff more interesting, you know, forget that call. I found more interesting was the 3 carries they called on Jordan Poole, which were definite carriers. Like he completely discontinued his dribble and then started to dribble again three different times. We rarely see that called once in a game, Jared.
Yeah, so is Steve Kerr's story about an email, was that a joke or was that legit? I still have no idea.
I don't know.
I mean, Steve Kerr after the game said that there was apparently an email sent that morning saying it was going to be a point of emphasis that night and that he should probably check his emails more. I still, as of recording at 12:30 in the morning in Eastern Standard Time, I have no idea if that's a joke or not. I don't think the NBA does points of emphasis quite like that immediately in the middle of the season, but it's not a terrible idea for a point of emphasis in some instances, like the last carry that was called on him where he like put his hand under the ball and took a step. But the first two are just kind of like the normal Iverson style cupping, as Steve Kerr put it. I feel like that's within the realm of reasonableness for NBA dribbling.
I don't agree with that. I think they were a little bit more as a defender. Like I honestly felt like the dribble had completely stopped. And then he went back to it, you know. Go check out Anthony Slater's tweet. He put it out there. He put all three there. You can judge for yourself. I felt like they got those calls right as well. And you know what? I'm not one to often agree with referees. And I think they kind of nailed it here. But, Jared, we've also gotten away from the game. It was a damn good game.
It was a great game. I mean, Jimmy Butler... it was so much fun to watch in this one. That spin move he had in the fourth quarter was great. Bam Adebayo was a monster on the roll. Max Strus had 24 points. But, I mean, what was it that stood out for you?
Honestly, it was Duncan Robinson. You know, if this is the Duncan Robinson that the Heat can get consistently, it'll go a long way for them. 6 of 10 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3. He was plus 19 when he was on the court. Had 17 points, had a couple of assists. Like, I think that just goes a long way for them. I thought he was great. I thought Kyle Lowry was awesome with 9 assists, really kind of pushing the tempo and getting them going a little bit in transition. But the other thing that stood out, Jared, was the Warriors only had 15 points in the fourth quarter.
And that was after 38 in the third quarter. I mean, they exploded in the third quarter. And then early fourth is when Miami closed it. Steph did his thing. It was just nobody else hit a shot outside of him pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Steph and to a degree, Clay, his efficiency wasn't so high, but like Jordan Poole was rough. I'm sure the carry calls got in his head a little bit, but 3 for 10. I thought Jamichael Green was okay. The bigger question is, what are they going to do about their defense? Because their defense has really kind of fallen off here a little bit. You know, I think that's one of the issues for them as they're going forward is figuring out how do we defend? Because when I look at their bench, not a lot of guys are coming off the bench I feel confident defensively. Moses Moody maybe is the only one. And that's been a change for this team that has often had a lot of depth coming off the bench where you felt like a lot of these pieces were interchangeable. Now it feels like, okay, let's just hope the young kids figure this out.
All right, we'll get to our last games of the evening. The Thunder, they beat the Magic. We don't need to dive into that one. Magic didn't hit a field goal for the last 7.5 minutes of that game. Shout out to Poku and Shea for going off.
Important analysis there. I feel like you need to hit a couple of field goals towards the end of the game to possibly win it. Just a thought.
It's one of the things that is required to win an NBA game. But Phoenix, they hit enough field goals to beat the Wolves, 116 to 107. I mean, the Suns were in control for most of this game. It was getting tight early in the fourth quarter because of Naz Reid, obviously, of all people. And then Ant started doing some things. But Chris Paul came back in, and he just restored tempo.
Yeah, you're going to give credit to the Wolves for this game getting tight. I'm going to give credit to the Suns second unit sucking to making this game tight in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were awful in how they started the fourth quarter. And then, of course, Monty Williams goes back to his guys a little bit earlier than normal. And then the Suns go on a run and kind of sort of reset the order there. We got to talk about Cam Johnson. I thought he was amazing in this game. I mean, he had a career high from three, I believe, with 7 made threes, 7 of 11 from three. 29 points, like, it's easy when it's a guy like Chris Paul dishing it out, giving him 12 assists. But, I mean, like, Cam Johnson, I thought, was phenomenal tonight, Jared.
He did it in so many ways. No turnovers in 33 minutes. Had 3 steals, 3 dimes. I mean, he was kind of doing everything from ball in his hands to spotting up. Turning into a complete player, looking like somebody who probably deserves an extension. So, great game from him. Really nice, a really great defensive game from Mikal Bridges. We didn't really see much of Devin Booker late in this game. That was a really interesting call to put Landry Shamet out there.
Yeah, you know, Booker picked up his fifth foul, I think, pretty early in that fourth quarter when they came back. And listen, when you go on a run, you stick with who brought you there. I think we saw it at the beginning of the season when the when Monty Williams didn't go back to Chris Paul in the fourth quarter in a close game. I think that's just how he's going to treat it. If we got a guy that's hot, we're going to leave him out there and let them cook and let them go to work. I think those are kind of like almost a confidence builder for guys like that. And it was important for Shamet to get out there. And he was knocking down shots and keeping the flow and the rhythm going. No reason for Monty not to trust him. Can we talk about the Wolves now for a second?
Oh, God, let's do it.
I mean, look, I know it's going to take some time figuring it out with Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert and how this whole thing's going to work. But Jared, man, like, I don't know, 6-8 games into the season, I kind of felt like they'd be a little further along. It really feels like every game for the Wolves when those guys are on the floor together is almost like their first game together.
Is that because Kat tried to throw an entry pass to Rudy and he threw it like into the fifth row? There's no synergy there yet. And also Kat's kind of in the way in the high post a lot of the time, whether it's, you know, pick and roll action with D'Angelo Russell, trying to do high low stuff with Rudy. Like Kat, they got to find a place where Kat really fits in this offense.
Yeah, I think the expectation was when this trade was made was like, oh, it'll be easy. Kat will hang out on the outside of the perimeter. Rudy will kind of roll into the rim. It'll be easy and things will work out from them. And, you know, the other thing too was D'Angelo Russell has sucked to start the season, right? And maybe he's just not that good and you may not be a believer in Russell, but like they need more from him because Anthony Edwards put up 24 points, very inefficient shooting, by the way, 8 of 21 from the field. But, you know, he's putting up numbers. There's a great play where Edwards comes up with a big stop, and he's leaking out in transition. And D'Angelo Russell tries to lead him with the pass, but throws it straight out of bounds, Jared. It's those type of mistakes that you can't really have. And I think they got to find a way to either get more from Russell or find a way to replace him.
I mean, with the way that Jordan McLaughlin and Jalen Noel are playing in this game, maybe he's their fourth best guard right now. We'll find out again soon because we're going to be talking about the Wolves a lot this year. He's Mo Dekeel. Daniel Lehman is our producer. I am Jared Weiss. This is the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.